Open your Bibles, please, to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. In your Schofield Reference Bible, turn to page 1239. We'll be reading verses 7 through 11. We'll read these five verses responsively. Page 1239. And may we stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Let's read the 11th together also, please. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Let's pray. Father, certainly thou hast blessed already this day in many very special ways. Yet there's something that needs to be done tonight. Apart from thy power, it cannot be done. Apart from our obedience, it cannot be done. Help us to be obedient to thy Spirit as it moves here in our midst tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to speak tonight on the subject, the path to pleasure in pain. Look at me, please. The path to pleasure in pain. There's nothing that the devil would like more than for you to have your attention elsewhere. And so I'm going to speak tonight on the subject, the path to pleasure in pain. Without you turning to it, before I pray, I'm going to read something very, very interesting. And then we're going to dig tonight in a field where we have digged before. But I found a little nugget in that same field. And so we'll walk down a trail that looked familiar to you. And you'll see environment that you've seen before. You'll see scenery you've seen before. And we'll dig in the same hole where we have often been. But I want to show you a little nugget. And it'll be worth, I think, our journey of somewhat familiar terrain in order to find this little nugget in the Word of God. Listen carefully to this. And Jesus went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, and nevertheless not as I will, but as thou wilt. Notice that's the first time he prayed that prayer. Then, down three or four verses later, it says, he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And then he had the third time, and he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. That means he prayed the third time, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed to the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. I'm going to leave you tonight with a little something I'll guarantee you. I say, I guarantee you, I don't believe anybody in this room has probably have discovered this little nugget that is, I think, one of the keys to this passage concerning, a little while ago, concerning the thorn in the flesh. Now, I often speak on Paul's thorn in the flesh, but I want to speak on it tonight, at least a little portion of the message, in a little different light. Father, bless the message tonight and give me the hearing of all the people, not only the hearing with the ear, but the hearing with the mind and the hearing of the heart. May he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul said, I glory in my weakness. I take pleasure in weaknesses. I rejoice in my persecution. I glory in my tribulation. Now, tonight, I want to talk to you talk about how Paul got to that place. Most of us aren't there yet. You have cancer? Have you rejoiced because of it? Is there something in your life, set of circumstances, that has put a burden on you that's almost too heavy to bear? Have you said praise God for it? The Apostle Paul said, I glory in my weakness. Now we glory in our strengths. Paul said, I glory in my tribulation. We glory in our successes. Nobody writes me a letter and says, puts under my door and says, Brother Hiles, I've got a blessing I want to share with you. I've got cancer. Nobody writes a letter and puts under the door and says, Brother Hiles, share a victory with me. I lost my job. Nobody does that. Now, the reason we don't, we've never examined the path to which that we take that will lead us to this destination. Ask your question first. No, don't tell me, but I want you to answer yourself. What is your thorn in the flesh tonight? Now, let me clarify it by saying a thorn in the flesh is not just something that's a suffering. It is that thing that God, are you listening? It is that thing that God has placed in your path as a part of His will that causes you embarrassment and pain and heartache, but it's a part of His will. It's God's plan for you. Now, what is the burden you bear? Think about it for a minute. I'd like for you in your own mind tonight to think of the worst thing, the worst heartache. Are you listening? The worst heartache. I'm not here to entertain tonight. I'm here to help you. I want you to think tonight of the worst burden you have, heaviest load you carry, thing that makes you weep the most, thing that causes your shoulders to droop the most, thing that most furrows your brow, thing that most causes your cheeks to be stained with tears. Tonight, what is it? In your own mind, think of what yours is. The worst thing as men count bad in your life, not the thing in the past, not the thing you fear in the future, but the thing that's present tonight. What is it? Paul's was called a thorn in the flesh. I do not know what it was, and this is familiar territory now. I do not know what it was. There are those that think that Paul had seizures of epilepsy. And while he was preaching, these seizures would come over him, have to stop the service for a while, and wait till Paul got his normal mind back. I don't know. There are those that think that Paul's thorn in the flesh was seizures by fever. And a certain fever would overcome him or come over him while he was preaching, have to stop the service and wait till Paul could settle down a little bit. I don't know. There are those who think that Paul stuttered while he preached. There are those that think he had a cleft palate and had an impediment of speech. There are those who think that the main problem was that of ophthalmia, an eye disease that rendered him almost blind, that made him almost unable to read or to write. I don't know what it was. I do know it was something that Paul didn't enjoy at first. It was something that later came to be, a joy and a pleasure to the apostle. Now I want to take you tonight from the first step of Paul's wishing he didn't have the thorn all the way to the step where Paul thanked God for the thorn and was glad that he had it. Now, the first thing that Paul did, he complained. So far, I'm with him. I understand that. I can relate to that. He complained. So you're on good grounds when something happens to you at first to complain. Something breaks your heart. Something breaks your spirit. Something breaks your will. Something breaks your health. You're on good grounds. You're not the first that started off by complaining. The Apostle Paul came to God and complained and said, God, take this thorn from my flesh, just like you would. Lord, heal this disease. Lord, solve this problem in my life. Lord, lift this burden that I bear. Lord, heal this disease in my body. Lord, do this thing to my child so he'll be well again. Lord, give me a job. Let me have a job again. And Paul came, and God refused. Paul said, Dear God, would you please remove the thorn from my flesh? And God refused to do so. Now, the next thing that happened, after Paul complained and God refused, then Paul accepted it. Now, hold it. He's not rejoicing yet. He's not praising God for it yet. He's not happy about it yet. He's not wanting to keep it yet, but he accepts it. Now, when God said, My grace is sufficient, I won't remove the thorn from the flesh, but my grace is sufficient. Now, God is not saying here this. He's not saying, Paul, the circumstances in which you find yourself are very hard and very difficult, but I will help you to bear them. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying, I will give you grace to bear the bad. He's not saying that. God is not saying here, I wish this could have been avoided. That would have been better. But seeing that it cannot be avoided, I am with you, I will help you, and I will help you to bear under the load that you find yourself. Paul wasn't saying that. Nor was he saying that the strength is my grace. I know you have a burden, but my strength is my grace. Paul wasn't saying that by my grace is sufficient, that I'll give you courage and to bear it and face it. He wasn't saying that. He wasn't saying, I'll give you comfort to bear it. Nor is he saying, the devil hurt you, and I will strengthen you, and that is my grace. He is saying this, that thorn in your flesh is my grace. Hear me now. That thorn is my grace. He's saying, I'm being gracious to you, Paul. The thorn is the expression of that grace to you. He's saying, Satan's messenger is my messenger. He's saying, this is not bad for you. It's good for you. You know, we've got the strangest idea. We expect God to follow our criteria of what's good or bad for us. We decide what's good for us according to what we think is good for us. But God was saying, Paul, this thorn is best for you. Now listen to me. 99% of the heartaches in this room tonight, and 99% of the burdens in this room tonight, and 99% of the thorns in this room tonight are expressions of God's grace, and they're better for you than for you not to have them. And God was saying to Paul, Paul, this thorn is my grace. Satan's messenger is my messenger. This is not bad for you. It's good for you. Everything you have is under my control, and I'm being good to you, not in the trouble, but because of the trouble. I'm being good to you, not by strengthening you in the heartache, but by giving you and allowing you to have the heartache. Ladies and gentlemen, is it true or not? And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those that are called according to His purpose. Well, now, all things mean bad things as well as good. All things mean painful things as well as comfortable things. All things mean clouds as well as sunshine. All things mean hurts as well as feeling good. I'm saying that when you are in the will of God
and God sends you a burden. It may be unbearable to you, but God sent it, and it's good for you. And that's what God is saying. God is saying, Paul, my burden is my grace. He's not saying, I'll give you grace to bear it. He's saying, the grace is the fact that I've given it to you. Tonight, if the road is rocky, or the road is crooked, or the pathway is hard to travel, and you cannot see your hand in front of your eyes, and the fog is veiling your path, and you wonder how you can face tomorrow. Let me tell you something, brother. If you love God and you're in the will of God, God means it for good. And you need that thing. You don't. There's nothing worse than a life with all the sunshine and no clouds. There's nothing worse than a life with all noondays and no midnights. There's nothing worse than a life with all comfort and no discomfort. And God comes along and says, Paul,
wait a minute. Paul was young in the ministry. This was Paul's first missionary journey. He was just getting started.
Paul had not yet gone to Troas. Paul had not yet gone to Thessalonica. Paul had not yet seen Corinth. Paul had not yet been to Berea. Paul had not yet been to Ephesus. Paul had not yet been to Rome. He has a great ministry and a long life before him and a long ministry before him. And God says, Paul, I've got to give you something that's going to smart and going to hurt, but it's for the good of your ministry, the good of your life. Now, Paul, this is necessary, and the bad that you think is bad that's happening to you or going to happen to you is for your own good, and the giving of the bad is an expression of my grace. Now, here's the nugget. The thought here, and I've never seen this in my life till last Monday. The thought here is crucifixion. Are you listening? Paul had a thorn he did not want to bear. Jesus was crowned with a crown of thorns he did not want to bear. Paul came one time and said, if it be possible, Father, he said, would you remove the thorn? Jesus came one time and said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Paul went the second time and said, Father, he said, remove the thorn. Jesus went the second time. Read it a while ago. Brother John, read it a while ago with you. I sought the Lord three times to have the thorn removed. I read to you how Jesus sought three times to have the thorn removed. Paul, the will of God for Paul's life was that he might have the thorn in the flesh. And the will of God for Jesus' life was that he might have the thorns on his brow. Paul goes once, the Father refuses to grant his request. Jesus goes once, and the Father refuses to grant his request. Paul goes a second time, answers no. Jesus goes a second time, answers no. Paul goes a third time, answers no. Jesus goes a third time, answers no. And then Paul wanted the stake. The word for the word thorn here is the stake. He said, I want this stake removed. That's exactly what happened to our Savior. He was nailed to a cross, or as it were, a stake. What else? Jesus died. And that's exactly what happened to the Apostle Paul in Lystra. In the early part of his ministry, he died and came back to life. So did Jesus. Now, what is the teaching here that I've not noticed before? This is it. Anything that God allows to come into your life that enables you to crucify yourself, be crucified. This was Paul's crucifixion. Remember, Paul said, lest I be exalted above measure. He said, God allowed this thorn to come in my life. Paul said, God was bringing me down to size. God was preparing me for my ministry. God was enlarging my tents. God was letting me know something about the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ so I could preach Him with more power. ladies and gentlemen, it is necessary, absolutely and totally necessary, that we have the thorn in the flesh before we ever live the resurrected life. We've got to be crucified. I realize it's never easy to be crucified. But the honest, simple truth is, you will never be crucified. Listen, you will never be crucified the flesh as long as you have only the enjoyment of the flesh. God's going to have to come to a place in your life, and I don't like it either. When I have heartaches and burdens and trials and sorrows, and in my ministry through these years, dotted through my ministry, have been times when I just didn't feel like I could wake up the next morning, and I thought I just could not take the next step in life. But I want to serve notice, ladies and gentlemen, that any time God is going to use anybody, there must be the time when God comes along and says, okay, I've got to crucify you, and crucifixion is never painless. It's always painful. Crucified to good. We want too many things. And God comes along sometime and pulls a rug of things out from under us and says, okay, make it on your own. We get spoiled to a good job, and God pulls a job out from under us and says, make it on your own. But I'll tell you one thing, brother, you'll never in this world be worth your salt until you come to a place in your life where you can't see tomorrow and don't know how you're going to make it. And you say, God, take this from me. And God said, I can't. I've got a purpose. I'm crucifying you so that you'll be dead to things. I'd love to see our people dead to things. I'd love to see us dead to houses and lands and cars. I'd love to see us dead to clothes and popularity. I'd still love to see us dead to pleasure. And alive! Alive to what? To do God's will. That's all. To do His will. Dead to what? Dead to criticism. Dead to criticizing. And dead to retaliating. Death! Somebody walks up to a dead man and says, you're a bum. Doesn't do anything to him. He doesn't slug you. He's dead. Dead. Walk up to a dead man and slap him. He won't slap you back. He's dead. Walk up to a dead man and curse him. He won't curse you back. He's dead. You folks that have these hot tempers that I'll get him back and I'll get my word in. And boy, I'll not speak to him again. There'll come one of these days into your life, a tragedy. The temperature will be 106 degrees at 2 o'clock in the morning. The doctor's line's busy. And you'll pace the floor and feel the fevered brow and pray for God to give life to that little child. And then sometime during the night, that little darling that came from heaven will go back to her own little home. And you'll have a little bronze shoe on the mantle of the fireplace and a little picture beside the bronze shoe. And you'll follow a little hearse out to Babyland and lay in that little box the precious body of one that was given life and a living soul because of you and your union with your mate. And you'll walk back to a house, to an empty crib, and all of a sudden you'll say, I can't make it. Oh, dear God, I can't take it! God said, maybe I can crucify you now. Maybe I can crucify you now. Maybe now you won't fight back. You go ahead and retaliate. And one day God will come along and God will say, okay, I'll take the dearest thing on earth from you. And God will take it. But I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. God cannot use us till we've been crucified. Crucified to criticism. I've heard Dr. Lee Robertson say this 100 times. I've heard him say it once. He's saying Lee Robertson must be crucified to criticism, and Lee Robertson must be crucified to compliments. That's what Paul said, lest I be exalted above measure. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Hold it. Didn't say there was pressed upon me or forced upon me. There was given. It was God's gift. There was given me. And Paul is saying, I was about to be exalted above measure. Let me tell you something. Many a young preacher, has had to go through the fires because of self-exaltation. A sermon he preached he thought was great. A ministry he had he thought was great. I got a letter today from a fella. He said, God's going to make me the greatest evangelist in the world. That's the silliest thing I ever heard of in my life. What he ought to say is, God's going to make me the most humble fella in the world.
Silliest thing I ever heard of in my life. God's going to make me a great evangelist.
Yeah, God's going to whack you over the head and knock you down one of these days and make you put you to size one of these days. That kind of talk doesn't please God. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. God's not concerned about your concept of yourself. God's concerned about you falling in the dust and putting sackcloth and ashes on your spiritual self and saying, oh, my God, I give you all I have. I'm not much, but I give you all I have. And I don't have much ability, but I'm all yours, dear God. Here I am.
If folks criticize me, okay, I'll keep on going. If folks compliment me, I won't get puffed up about it. I'll be crucified. I'll die.
That's what happened to Paul. Paul said, I was alive, but I died. The thorn came along. Paul said, I said, Lord, take it from me. Listen, Jesus, it's normal not to want the thorn to come. Jesus did not want to become sin. Oh, the Son of God, who never tasted sin, all of a sudden becoming sin. He who never had an evil thought suddenly puts all evil thoughts on himself. He that never had a wicked purpose all of a sudden puts all wicked purposes on himself. He that never lost his temper puts all temper tantrums on himself. And he who never cursed puts all cursing on himself. And he who never lied puts all lying on himself. And he who never stole puts all stealing on himself. And he who was never impure puts all impurity on himself. And Jesus knew he had to stand before God as a sinner bearing all of our sins. And Jesus said, I am the Son of God. I don't want to do it. Let it pass from me. But he said, if I have to do it for the salvation of men, nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. But he had to die. I well remember that day when I guess one of the darkest days of my life. When just 24-hour period, every friend, every college mate I had turned on me. My own college where I went to school turned on me. The church where I grew up, many of them became ashamed of me, and I'm sure they would not let me preach there tonight if I were in the city. All of my speaking engagements were canceled out. And all the preachers coming to my church canceled me out. And my best friends walked away and said, we can't have anything to do with you. All because I said, I will not give one red cent to a Southern Baptist college that allows liquor on campus. I won't do it. I won't give one thin dime, and I'll die before I do. Give one thin dime to a seminary that doesn't believe this word is the verbally inspired word of God. And they said, you'll have to cooperate. And I said, I won't cooperate with that kind of stuff, not on your life. And I walked back to my office one day thinking it was all over. I thought it was over. I was the loneliest I've been in my life. I got a telephone call. Picked up the phone, never forget it. I heard a voice on the other line saying, Brother Jack. And I said, yes. He said, Brother Jack. This is Brother Lester. He was Brother Olaf. And I said, yes, Brother Lester. He said, Brother Jack, you're dead, ain't you? And I said, yes, I am. I'm dead. He said, Brother Jack, ain't nobody ever got resurrected who didn't first die. You say, I want to live the resurrected life, then you're going to have a thorn in the flesh. You say, I want to live the life that's victorious, then you're going to have some scars of battle on your spiritual body. You say, I'd like to live a life that's risen above the world, then you've got to have a death. You've got to die. And Paul said, God, take my thorn. And God said, Paul, if you want to be raised, you've got to die. And Paul said, God, take my thorn. And God said, if you want to be raised, you've got to die. And Paul said, Lord, please take my thorn. And God said, Paul, if you want to be raised, you've got to die. If you're going to go to Europe, you've got to die before you go. If you're going to found the churches and start the churches, you've got to die before you go. If you're going to pen most of the New Testament, you've got to die before you go. If you're going to start churches in Asia Minor, you've got to die before you go. If you're going to have my power on your life, you've got to die before you go. And Paul said, okay then, if that's the case, I accept it. I accept it because God said, my grace is sufficient. What Paul did not realize was that thorn in the flesh was called Thorn College, as far as God saw it. That was called Thorn 131. Of course, Paul needed to take 5 hours of credit.
It was called persecution, 131. Necessary. More necessary than systematic theology. More necessary than Bible doctrines. More necessary than homiletics. More necessary than a THV degree. More necessary than a doctor of divinity. More necessary than a college. More necessary than a seminary. More necessary than talent. Paul, God said, Paul, if you're going to be what you ought to be, you got to die. Ladies and gentlemen, die! Die! You say, how do I die when the thorn comes? Thank God for it. Paul said, I realize now this is best for me. I realize now what it means. He said, dear God, I understand it now. I don't want to suffer, but if suffering is necessary for my ministry, let me suffer. I don't want to hurt, but if hurting is necessary for me to live a resurrected life, let me hurt. I don't want to die, but if dying is necessary for resurrection, let me die. And then Paul comes along and says, now I take pleasure in it. I want you to notice the progression. First, he complained. Second, God refused. Third, he accepted it. Then God refused. Then he was crucified. Stake! Jesus on a stake! Thorn! Crown of thorns on his brow. Falsely accused! Same as Jesus. Sought him thrice for deliverance! Same as Jesus. I want to tell you something tonight, folks. We don't have the slightest idea what Christ-likeness is all about. We think Christ-likeness is being sweet and kind when the grocerman cheats you out of a nickel. We think Christ-likeness is never doing anything but being loving and kind and giving buying some Girl Scout cookies. No, Christ-likeness is being killed. Christ-likeness is having thorns in your hands. Christ-likeness is nobody being for you. Christ-likeness is dying! But you never will know Him in the power of His resurrection till you've been to your Calvary. And you will never know Him in the resurrected life till you've known Him in the crucified life. Until you've taken the thorns. I'm not saying you ought to look for thorns. You just hang around, buddy. They're going to come. And when they come, when that burden comes, you don't bristle and say, God's not good to me. Listen, God's always good to me. Always is. God comes along and says, okay. Now, nothing wrong with you saying, dear God. God remove it. But if God says, nope, try again. Nope, try again. Jesus did. Paul did. But then, I want you to realize after you sought the Lord thrice and the Lord does not remove it, I want you to go look in the mirror and I want you to say, thank God I'm being crucified. Thank God my hands are being unpried a little bit from the things of earth. Thank God I'm going to live a resurrected life one of these days because I'm dying now. And Paul said, I take pleasure. By the way, no longer did he say, I endure it. No longer did he say, I'm resigned to it. No longer did he say, I bear it. No longer did he say, how did this come about? No longer did he say, I think I can make it now. No! He said, now it's best for me. It's best for me. But wait a minute, that too is a bit selfish. He came to the place to where he could say, it is pleasure to me. I'm glad I have it. How did he get there? The word grace. The word grace means pleasing. My pleasing is sufficient for thee. My pleasure is sufficient for thee. God's pleasing is sufficient for me. What God pleases is sufficient for me. What pleases God is what I want. And if it pleases God to put me in the fire, into the fire I go. It pleases God to break my heart, broken heart, here I come. It pleases God for me to be unemployed, unemployment, I'm glad for you. You take that thorn in the flesh tonight and you hold it before you. I mean that thing that's the darkest thing in your life tonight and you hold it before you and you look at it and you say, I thank God for you. Because through you, I've been crucified just a little bit more. And it pleases God. Your illness is His grace. Your pain is His grace. Your poverty is His grace. Your unemployment is His grace. Your burden is His grace. Your disappointment is His grace.
I was talking to a fellow, his wife. And this is the best illustration I know of what I'm saying tonight. This man mercilessly insulted his wife. I mean, he's one of these loud-mouthed fellows that just always try insulting his wife, like the choir members, bass section, do me. By the way, that's my thorn over there, right over there. I got a whole bush of them. She was shy, the little wife was. Not very gifted, not a public speaker, not a singer, not effervescent. Just a shy, little, humble Christian. I noticed that every time that he insulted her, she blushed. She never fought back, never got offended. And I went to her and said, I admire you doing that. I admire you. I appreciate you taking all the embarrassment and all the guff that your husband gives you in such a wonderful spirit. And I said, she said, but I like it. I said, you like it? Oh, yes. You mean you enjoy being ridiculed? And he'd call her ugly, he'd call her skinny, he'd call her dumb, and tell a bunch of jokes that would make her the butt of the jokes. She said, I'll tell you why I like it. He said, he enjoys it. And I love him. He enjoys it. And I love him. May I have your attention, please? If he can get more glory out of the thorn, thank God for the thorn. If he can get more glory out of your heartbreak, thank God for the heartbreak. He can get more glory out of your poverty. Thank God for the poverty. He can get more glory out of your illness. Thank God for your illness. You're not God. You don't know what's best for you. And you don't know what's good and what's bad. When God says, my grace is sufficient, God was saying, dear child of mine, with a burden, the shoulders stoop almost to the ground. The brow furrowed and the face wrinkled and the hands are palsied from fear. The step is unsure and the clouds are so low you think you'll never see the sun again. God says, if it pleases me, if it pleases me, that's enough. If it pleases me, that's enough. That's what you call dying. That's what you call crucifixion. That's what you call dying to self and dying to pleasure and dying to popularity and dying to gain and dying to power and dying to authority. You simply say, dear Jesus, wherever He leads, I'll go. It may be to a dark jungle in Africa. It may be blazing the trail with David Livingstone across the jungles of Africa. It may be laying your children in the sands of Burma, as Anna and Aaron Judson did. It may be that the flames of the stake will come up in your face and you'll have to say with Latimer and Ridley that the fire is being lighted now that'll soon spread to the whole world. It may be a lonely, dark trail. It may be placing a baby in a grave. It may be a heartache you'll never get over. It may be a burden you'll never be able to bear by yourself. But if God wills it, if God wants it, praise God for it. Thank God for it. The Apostle Paul said, he first complained, and God refused. Then he accepted it, and God refused again. And then he said, I take pleasure in it. I rejoice in my infirmities. Do you? Look at it tonight and say, I thank God for you. And die. Die. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, I pray tonight you'd help us to enter into what the Apostle Paul meant. And I pray tonight you'd help us to die to self. Our heads are bowed.